I just love that bold flavor.
I put it on almost everything.
It's an obsession, really.
People are totally stoked on it.
It is my favorite hot sauce. I eat it on everything.
Are you one of those people?
Yeah, I'm probably obsessed with sriracha. I mean, to spend 8 months on a documentary about it, you kind of have to be.
How did you discover it? How did you grow to love it?
I believe it was Noodles & Company. And I talked to the PR people at Noodles, and they said they've had it in their stores since they opened around Denver, I think in the 90s. So they've had it for a long time. I think I've been eating it for about 10 years.
Well, let's assume someone hasn't tried sriracha. Can you describe the sauce and maybe more importantly, describe the bottle? Because if you describe the bottle, everyone will know what you're talking about, I think.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times when I say sriracha, people have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you say the red bottle with the rooster on it and the iconic green top, the nozzle top, people seem to know. But if you haven't tried it, it's kind of a hot sauce for people who don't like hot sauce. It's not competing for heat the way that a lot of hot sauces are. It's not a big vinegar punch. It really just lets you taste fresh jalapenos.
And what I learned in this documentary is that sriracha is more than just a brand. It's actually a type of sauce. It's found worldwide. Here in the United States, it starts off with jalapenos. What else is in it?
Garlic is really the other main flavor. You also have vinegar, salt, and sugar, and some preservatives. But really, it's just the garlic and the jalapenos you're tasting. In fact, in the factory where they make it, all you can smell is garlic. Like, that smell just fills everything.
Well, that makes me wonder about the controversy right now in Irwindale, California. You were inside the plants. All you smelled is garlic. Is it surprising to you that people outside the plant are having these issues with watering eyes and raw throats?
It is a little bit surprising because, yeah, I was in the factory. I don't smell it much walking around. I definitely never smelled it outside. When you go into the room where they crush the peppers, it is pretty unbearable. I was wearing a mask, but you're kind of uncontrollably coughing. I'm sure the people that work there get used to it. So part of me wondered if it was kind of a placebo effect. If people's friends were asking them, oh, you must be smelling a lot of peppers, and they go home and they start thinking about that.
I mentioned Irwindale, California. That's where David Tran's company is based. Your film is sort of one fan's homage to this sauce, but it's also a journey to find the origins of this sauce here in the United States and overseas. Can you tell me a little bit about David Tran and his company?
It's funny that I didn't know anything about him. I'm a fan of this sauce for 10 years, and I just kind of realized, wow, I don't know anything. So when I started to look into David Tran, I realized he has a pretty interesting story, and it starts with him in his 30s, was living in Vietnam right after the war. And as I dug into the history, I realized that the new Vietnamese government, the communists that came to power, they decided they were not friendly with the ethnic Chinese. So they pretty much forced them onto ships and said, get out of here. And
this was the boat people crisis of the late 70s.
Exactly, yeah. Something that I had never really learned about. I didn't know much about this until the film.
Okay, so let's listen to that part of your film.
At 30 years old, David saw the fall of Saigon, which brought the Vietnam War to a close.
When Vietnam changed to communism, they stopped any business.
The new Vietnamese government considered ethnic Chinese, like David and his family, an unwanted minority, and pressured them to pay their own way out of the country on crowded, dilapidated freighters.
All around me, my friend, my relative, they live in Vietnam, so I follow them.
He arrived in Hong Kong. The UN placed him in the United States, and he had nothing but started making this hot sauce, and now he sells 20 million bottles a year.
And he started making it one bottle at a time, spooning the sauce
right
into the glass bottles, and he would just ferry these bottles all over town to the Vietnamese restaurants.
Yeah. As I understand it, it was him and his father-in-law would just drive this Chevy van around and deliver hot sauce.
I mentioned that this film sort of tells the story of your journey in finding the origins here in the United States and in Thailand. You mentioned going to Thailand. Tell me about your trip and what you found there.
Yeah, we went to Bangkok and then drove down to Siracha, which is a seaside community, not very big, where the name Siracha comes from. But we went to the factory where they make the original brand of Siracha called Siracha Panid, which has been around since 1949. And it was just made by a woman named Miss Tanam Chakapak in her kitchen at home, and she started selling it to friends, and they loved it. And so that's kind of where the whole trajectory of sriracha comes from.
And you can't talk to her. She's passed away. But you came – you sort of found a really good surrogate.
Yeah. We found a woman who had been working at the factory since she was 14. Now the brand is owned by a bigger company called Thai Tepperos. But this woman, Watana, is kind of the chef in charge of making sure they're true to the original recipe.